Could there finally be some good economic news?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Businesses may be seeing a dim light at the end of the economic tunnel. The latest survey by the National Association for Business Economics, NABE, finds companies preparing to hire more workers early next year. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale has more.
Business economists see growing demand for products and services, and that means companies will stop laying workers off and start adding to their payrolls in the first quarter of next year. But job creation will be slow. Most of the economists don't expect a recovery of all the jobs lost during the recession until 2012 at the earliest. High unemployment lingering into an election year puts pressure on Democrats in Washington to consider more economic stimulus, even as Republicans say the government can't afford it. Deficit hawks argue the first stimulus didn't work, and doing more will only saddle future generations with extra debt. But some Democrats say turning off the government spigot now will only choke off the recovery. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Microsoft has had talks with News Corp about a tie-up which would involve News Corp getting paid to take its news websites off Google. News Corp owns such papers as the Wall Street Journal and reportedly started the discussions. Microsoft has also talked with other online publishers about removing their sites from Google. That's according to the Financial Times, which first reported that development. Stocks are all over the place this morning. Some strong gains over at the European markets, most of them up 0.5%. I should say 1.5% this morning. In Asia, stocks closed mixed. Hong Kong and Chinese shares were up. Japan's Nikkei fell by 0.5%. On Wall Street, stocks wrapped up the week lower. The S&P and NASDAQ lost between 0.25% and 0.5%. The Dow Friday fell 14 points to close at 10,318. It'll probably be a light week on Wall Street, this being the week of Thanksgiving and all. We do get existing home sales numbers later this morning, and we'll get reports this week on unemployment, consumer confidence, and demand for big-ticket manufactured goods. In China, over the weekend, a deadly coal mine blast in the north killed at least 104 miners. Authorities blame improper management at the mine. And the sad reality is mine deaths in China are pretty common. Marketplace Asia Bureau Chief Scott Tong has seen one of those Chinese mines in that part of the country. He joins us now. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So how did this explosion happen?
Well, the mine says it was a buildup of the deadly gas methane. In many Chinese mines, they're supposed to have these methane gauges, and when the level gets too high, they cut all the power in the mine, and that's the miner's signal to get out. Well, in this case, a mine spokesman says they started to evacuate the night shift at about 1:30 in the morning. The blast came about an hour later, and it turns out about 1/5 of the men apparently did not make it out, Steve.
This is a big tragedy, Scott, but it's pretty common, right, in China?
It's got to be one of the most dangerous jobs in the world. We all remember the Somerset, Pennsylvania mine disaster in the States back in 2002. We were all watching, and thank goodness they rescued all 9 of the men. Well, 9 men, that's one day in China. I mean, that's the average single-day casualty toll for Chinese miners.
Wow.
And for the risk they take, they earn a relative fortune in one of the poorest parts of China. They make about $15 a day. And these are the most valuable jobs in town. I mean, the families I talked to said they do whatever they can to get their husbands and sons these jobs, get the right connections, bribe the right people, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes to get one of those jobs. What's the latest from those family members, Scott?
Well, a lot of the spouses came this morning, and they reportedly scuffled with local police and mine officials for not giving these spouses enough information. Some of them, it turns out, were carted off. The state media says families will be compensated about $40,000 per casualty.
All right. Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Scott Tong joining us from Shanghai. Scott, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
Crude oil prices rose above $78 a barrel today in Asia as Iran staged 5 days of war games. That's boosting tensions in the oil-rich Middle Eastern area. For the first time in a decade, more people paid their credit card bills on time in the third quarter this year than in the second quarter. According to the credit reporting agency TransUnion, the delinquency rate on bank-issued cards, such as those bearing MasterCard and Visa, fell to 1.1% for the June to September period. That's from a rate of just over 1% in the prior 3 months.
Marketplace is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs, such as The Splendid Table, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Anti-hunger charity Bread for the World puts out its 2010 hunger report later today. The recession has worsened hunger all around the world, but the organization says there are plenty of policy changes that could help solve the problem. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Almost one in four American kids lives in a household that's struggling to put food on the table. David Beckman of Bread for the World wants the government to strengthen child nutrition programs and expand tax credits for the working poor so no child goes hungry.
This is not rocket science. We know how to make sandwiches. And we can feed kids in America, even in the middle of this recession.
He says pumping money into the U.S. economy isn't enough to help everybody.
Just expanding the national economy without paying much attention to what you're expanding is going to lead to a very short-term recovery. What we need to do is use this time of economic crisis to invest in a more just and sustainable society.
He says attacking climate change is another way to help. Green jobs could decrease unemployment. And he says cutting down on fossil fuels would help curb the change in climate that's already affecting people's livelihoods in developing countries, including food production. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And finally, I was in high school back in the 1980s, and I remember well those scan tests where we were instructed to bubble it in. You remember? You had to use a number two pencil. In the Baltimore area, 11 schools are offering up a program to test students with handheld electronic devices. They would replace the traditional pencil and paper tests. These gadgets are about the size of a big remote control with a small screen. A school official says the iRespond technology will save time and allow teachers to focus on their teaching. And, of course, it could save a lot of money as well. If we could only get those mimeograph tests back from the old days. Remember smelling the damp paper? Maybe that's just me. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.